Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The secret sauce to the Julian Sands season, and what's the hardest non-NFL or Ohio State job that's in the state of Ohio?
And he could be the number one overall pick, and he might be one of the best players ever in the state of Ohio. He's from Northeast Ohio, and you don't know who he is.
It's the emerging podcast scene, presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. Tone, your thoughts on the situation where, and I wish I could tell you more, but I can't, so you're going to have to tell me. Let's just do it now. Tone, you are telling me about a high school player that I did not hear about, and you said if this was an old days, I would have never heard of him, and this is a travesty upon travesties.
I think it sucks. I think it totally sucks. So last night, Kansas debuted the guy that is likely to be the number one pick in the draft next year, Darren Peterson. Darren Peterson, his dad played at Akron. He's from Canton.
What's his dad's first name?
Daryl? Is it Daryl?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. 2006? I know that name. Yeah, I know that name.
This kid's been on the radar for a while. His brother played football, I think at Wisconsin.
Where does the time go?
And he went to CVCA his freshman sophomore year. And you know, all my buddies who are basketball coaches or know the area, know the entire terrain, they told me this kid's the best player in Ohio his freshman year. And they said he won't be playing in Ohio much longer. He's going to go to the prep schools. So he stayed at CVCA 2 years, put up 31 points a game his second year. I think he was like 26. And he was clearly the best player in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew that he could go anywhere in the country that he wanted to. But you just play the waiting game. Like, he's almost too good for Ohio. So he goes to Huntington Prep. You know, what is that, West Virginia?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't O.J. Mayo go there? And then his senior year, he went somewhere I'm not as familiar with, but I think out west.
Okay.
So he has been out of my life. Like, I'm just not, maybe I'm not following that stuff nearly as close as I used to. And I knew Ohio State was not getting him. This just wasn't happening. He ends up going to Kansas. And last night, his first game as a freshman, 21 points in 21 minutes, and they destroyed Doug Gottlieb's Milwaukee team.
Yeah.
They beat him by like 45. And after the game, Doug Gottlieb tweeted, "Closest thing I've seen to Kobe."
Wow.
After one game. One game. And I'm like, man, 10 years from now, if he's the number one overall pick, you know, after this year, and then goes to star in the NBA and is on the trajectory that people think he'll be.
Yeah.
Then are we going to be calling him a Northeast Ohio legend? No. He, and I mean, things have changed because when LeBron was here, and LeBron was just such at a different stratosphere, mm-hmm. but he was getting the national TV games. All right, well, this Darren Peterson's been on national television, but nobody cares anymore. Nobody cares if you're watching two prep schools battle each other in a big high school game. It's just not the same as when we were young and LeBron James played Oak Hill Academy.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the coolest things of all time. And then he had a few more of his games nationally televised, and Dick Vitale is doing the game, or Jay Billis is doing the game. That stuff is, I think even Bill Walton might have done a game. That's over. That's just, that stuff is over, and it's depressing to me. This is just more evidence that we're in a different era and all these sports are changing, and I don't think for the better. And I just think it would have been awesome to have this kid in Northeast Ohio for 4 years playing at the state tournament. You know, now it's Dayton, used to be Columbus. That just would have been seminal memories for me my whole life. And instead, I'll have no memories of Darren Peterson in high school playing, you know, not that far down the road.
Is this something like Zach shares with you, the sentiment? I imagine he does.
Man, I think a lot of people. I think just a lot of people are like, it's just the best players are going to leave. They're not even going to be here in high school.
But isn't it that way for every state? Like, I would imagine a place like, you know, Oak Hill or Huntington Prep, they would take guys from everywhere.
Well, and there's more of those schools. Yeah. Now we have Spire.
Yeah.
Spire has some of the best kids from around the country playing right up in Ashtabula or right up in Madison or Geneva.
Well, I know there's been a couple who have taken like a gap year to play at Spire.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Just sucks. It sucks because we had this great state tournament. And yes, I miss it when it was in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
But you just had all the workings of perfection, kids from all over the state, the coaches from all over the state. You monitor the kids. You hear about them. You're not going to see them on television back then. You're not going to see them on television unless they really are elevated to the next level like LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even Jared Sullinger I saw a few times, but he was at the state tournament with Columbus, Northridge. And I miss that. I miss that. And I feel like we've been deprived. Like, how cool would it have been for everybody in, whether it's Cleveland or wherever, to like watch Darren Peterson growing up and then talk about him for the next 40 years of their life.
I never heard of him.
That's how it was for us.
Yeah.
High school, football and basketball. We talked about seeing these kids at a young age. And then Desmond Howard. I saw Desmond Howard at a very young age. Elvis Gerbach, I saw at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take that with me the rest of my life. And I feel like we're not going to have that
anymore. Well, I think we still do that in football.
More in football,
In the state. I think that, you know, I think that we're starting to become, and I've always mentioned the haves and have-nots, and I think that schools start to decide, just like colleges, what they want to invest in. And so, like, you'll have a couple of schools that really want to invest in basketball, and you have a lot of schools that want to invest in their football. And I think that can get bottlenecked as well because, you know, you're seeing some places, you know, take guys and you know, they're willing to do some wild things to make sure that they are able to get these players at some of these schools. So I think that it's changed so much where, you know, when I was a kid, and I don't mean to turn this into a football thing because this was your basketball observation, but I'm going to say this. I mean, if you talk about things changing, you know, D1 is not the premier division anymore.
It's crazy to
me. Which it's amazing. We talked about St. Ignatius, and their job is a big job that there will be national people who want to try this job. There will probably be some, you know, assistant coaches in colleges who want to take this job. Whether or not that's something that happens or not, like, and big names are being mentioned. Like, I was walking by and Baskin's like, are you really hearing Bo Pelini? I was like, well, I mean, we're kind of goofing around with it, but yeah, I'm sure they'll reach out to somebody that's a big name, and Bo Pelini's a big name. But what I'm pointing out is that, like, even there, it's just like become like, it's kind of the elite. Great for Eds, great for them, which sucks for like a place like Mentor, because that's a big community and they really love Mentor. And there's a couple of places that are bigger that are really like public that they really love. But a lot of it becomes X, Moeller, you know, Eds, Ignatius when they get off their ass, you know, a couple of things there. But now it's like divisions two through everything else is the ones that are more fun to watch. Like, this is just like, these are the kids who were taken from the communities and now they play here. And I just don't think that that's nearly as much fun. So I think we see it a little bit, just not on a national scale. But in some of these places, I mean, you look at it, there's some kids from out of state that are coming and playing at some of these places that are even D2. So I understand there's nostalgia to it. Things aren't always the same, and we look back on it and we enjoy it. But I think you're right. You know, I'm a sports guy, and I probably have heard the kid's name, but I never paid attention to him until you said anything. And 20 years ago, that wouldn't have been the case.
Compare it to LeBron, and I know there'll never be another LeBron, but this kid, I've been hearing about this kid since he was in middle school, Darren Peterson. And think about how if this were 20 years ago, how it would have been LeBron. It would have been like LeBron. It just would have been a guy that was must-see. You pack the high school gyms on a cold night in February, January, and you walk in there with your winter jacket. You get the program out. You see Tom Izzo is over there. Oh, my God. Tom Izzo is on my same row down in the bleachers, because this actually happened.
Yeah.
You know, I was able to do some pretty cool things and see all that stuff. And this is not the case. It's just all gone.
No, you're right. You're right. It, that part of it does suck. But, you know, I just don't want to become like old man bitching about how things are like anymore. And that's how it is. Speaking of,
but does anybody think this is better?
No. No. I don't. I can't name one person who likes it better. That's part of it. I have found nobody. You think about this with every sport that's not college pro. Nobody likes any of the changes, but we're all going headlong into it because we're afraid of being left behind. We are just, everybody's afraid. Nobody is going to make a stand. No one's going to say this is not how it's done. This is not how it should be done. We're just all going to do it. Like, I will tell you this, and I feel bad saying this. My son don't like baseball. Playing it. He'll watch it with me, but he doesn't like playing it. He doesn't think he's very good. It's definitely not his best sport, no matter what. I can't admit. You know how I feel about travel sports. I mean, I dislike them greatly. I think that just I got a million opinions, and none of them are really positive about it. And he tried out for a team because his buddy wanted him to. And I'm going, he ain't going to make it. And I really didn't think he should or wanted him to, if we're being honest. But I couldn't believe myself. I was sitting there going, well, if he makes the team, I got to get him all this stuff. Yeah. I swear to God. I go, if he makes the team, I'm gonna buy him the bat bag, and I'm going to get him all the stuff, and we'll pay for the tournaments, and we'll just do it if he makes the team.
The hotel rooms?
Yep. I could not believe myself. And I don't know anybody who does it that really enjoys it. Oh, I don't know any of them. It seems that some of the kids may, but they got to be really, really good.
I'd enjoy the hotel bar.
But like that might be fun. But like the high school stuff, so much of it's the same way, and you know, it bothers you. But at the same time, I'm trying to find the positives to it, and I can't find a whole lot of positives.
There are some. I mean, there are some. Being a part of a team and forging those memories, and
well, obviously, yeah, but that's always going to be the way it is. I'm talking about to the level. There's what I don't like. St. Ignatius, yes, is a different animal than 98% of the other schools out there. Mm. And I do believe what I said this morning that I think that once you get out of the NFL and college, the NFL and Ohio State, I think that there's a lot of high schools that have more pressure to win than. I think any school in the MAC, I think maybe probably UC. Some people would probably disagree with that. That's fine. Am I missing anybody else? Because I think, you know, sometimes I forget UC. Like, it's like, oh, that's a big school. That's a Big 12 school. And they're right here in Ohio. But I think, like, Ignatius, there's a lot of pressure to win. Maslin, there's always been pressure to win. But, like, you don't get to see any of the guys who have been around for, you know, 7-3 and just getting to the playoffs 1 or 2 years, you know, that used to be a really good year. And now it's just not acceptable for a lot of places. And I think it's driven out some good people. I think it's driven out the possibility. But I think it's that way in every sport and every state. You know, I bet it's that way. I bet if there was somebody listening in Minnesota right now, they would be thinking that about high school hockey. Or in Wisconsin, they'd be thinking about that in high school hockey. I had a boss who worked in Stevens Point. He goes, it's amazing how much they just do not give a bleep about high school football. And it's everything in Ohio. I go, really? He goes, yeah, they just don't want to turn the ball over. But it's something to do until hockey season. They don't care. And I watch some of the stuff now, and I go, I just don't want to become all the haves and have-nots. I went to a place that was a large school just last Friday, and I really was let down by the amount of people that weren't at the game.
Oh,
a playoff
man.
Game. It was a playoff game. I was really let down.
Yeah, now, of course, they're streaming all these games, too, so people could just stay at home.
It was a very large school, and they got some young players. They got a bright future ahead of them. I think that they've made some changes here recently. I'm struggling not to say who it is because I don't want to throw anybody under the bus. because the people were nice when I went there. But I go, man, like, there was some criticism of how you guys went about this, but it seems like you made the right hire, and the person seems like they're taking it seriously, and you got some young guys playing, and I think you'll be able to retain them. Like, you're going to be pretty good coming up. And I just did not see anything like that. I'm like, this is a playoff game. Like, where are the people? Where's the excitement?
Well, they've also watered down the playoffs.
Nothing. Yeah, but now they've kind of made it. They're hopefully ramping it back up to make it a little bit more exclusive. And I'm going, yeah, I know it's like a D1 situation, but like, geez. Like, it's just amazing where you go from, listen, I was at McKinley-Maslin 2 weeks ago. That's a different animal. Mm-hmm. I'm not expecting McKinley-Maslin.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
When I go to a first-round Division I playoff game, but when I do go to a first-round Division I playoff game, I'd like there to be more filled seats than empty. I think that that's not asking too much. I do think I would like something better than what I saw. But I also know that I don't want to turn that into the everyday thing, because I go to places like Buckeye and the whole town comes out.
Yep.
And that's in that same area that I was at. You know, I told you, we went out to Norway a couple weeks ago, couldn't find an empty seat in them stands. So there, you know, you take the good with the bad. But I also, I hold it so much more precious, because I think that there used to be so many more people spread out to watch Friday nights, and where we hold football very, very closely. I just don't see that as much in certain places anymore, and it really bothers me. But either way, is there a job that you find to be as pressured as maybe an Ignatius in the state of Ohio?
Well, especially the pressure coming after Coach Kyle. St. Ignatius was a nationally known program, and people knew if you talked to sports people in other states or whatever, they'd go, Ignatius, oh, Cleveland. Like, they would just know. So to have the stretch that they've had post-Kyle, it's been – shocking, and it's St. Ed's made an all-time great hire in Tom Lombardo, and to see the two programs go in completely opposite directions.
How would you like to be the poor bastard that has to take over for Tiger Laverty someday?
Right. Yeah.
Like that, I got to tell you, like, and John Kampf gets really defensive over that. Like, that's a very special situation that I don't know if you can just carry over with another coach. Which, by the way, can I give credit? I know I bust balls here a little bit. I don't want to make a big deal about it. I understand that the coach at West G is a listener to the show. I don't know if he's going to hear this, and I know he's not a big fan of mine. I got to tell you, 6-4 with that program from where it was last year and getting to the playoffs is a heck of a job.
Amazing job.
I'm not saying that because I'm street sport. I'm being honest. Like, that's a heck of a job. That is a heck of a job.
I saw score in that game was like tied going to the fourth quarter.
I thought West G led at one point.
Did they?
But you know, I again, where I saw that program at one point last year before he took over, like I saw, like I, you know, you told me, I go, good luck, and to get them at over 500 and back in the playoffs. Yeah, that guy deserves a drink. That's a hell of a job. And hopefully, you know, there's some more gold in their hills for that guy. And because I'm friends with the AD over there like you are, and they're good people over there. So I know he's not a big fan of mine, but, I hope they do well.
How many hours a week does a high school football coach, if he's taking it seriously, and is expected to do a good job. How many hours a week a job that is that?
80. 80.
Owen?
Owen laughs. He knows.
I mean, I don't think you can put a number on the hours. Yeah. It is the job.
And what's the pay for a lot of these situations?
Well, usually you have you're usually a teacher and then right. Or an athletic director.
School district employee.
But you get a supplement.
You do ISS.
Yeah. Maybe you're the head of HR.
Yeah. And there's a stipend that goes with it, but there's a lot of that's always the kind of I kind of don't like to get into that because today's a weird
a lunchroom monitor.
Election.
I know one that's a lunchroom monitor.
Because there's people who, well, if you're listening to this and you care that much about how much they make, you're probably not listening to this. I don't think you can like sports and high school football in Ohio or football in Ohio in general and then get mad at, you know, the creative ways they make for guys to make a fine living to hold on to those coaches in some places around here. That's a full-ass job, man. And it takes a lot out of you. But like guys who are in the playoffs right now, like that's, they're grinding. They're grinding. Like I know they're upset, but I guarantee you there will be guys who lose on Friday and there will be a little bit of relief. There will be a little bit of, okay, like, all right, now we can, we had ourselves a good season. We can start to put – there are guys who are obsessed. There are guys who are coaches of machines.
Yeah, maybe still this round. Last week, definitely that happened. There was a lot of guys.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
We're in the second round now. I think a lot of those guys think, man, if the ball fell our way once or twice in the season, we wouldn't be in this seed position. And then imagine where we'd be with the home playoff game, and we're just one or two away from being, you know, in Canton and playing.
And then next week it's going to get real bitter when you lose. It's going to be that's going
to
be a tough
one. You feel like you're in it to win it now.
Mitch wanted us to talk about it. I just don't know if it's worthy talking about. Julian Sain is the leader for the Heisman, and I'm like, yeah.
Yes.
And what else?
Yes, he is.
And what else do we want to say? I have a thing. No offense to Mitch. Is this a chicken or egg thing where it's like, well, he's throwing to Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate? I'm like, well,
it could be Joe Burrow at LSU.
It could be that. Like when he had Jamar Chase at LSU, I can't fault Julian Sain for doing it, but my mind makes me play weird tricks on myself because I look at this kid and I go, man, where's the holes? I want to find the holes in the game. Where's the holes in the game? I was listening to Rand Carthon talk about a couple of different quarterbacks, and he was actually talking about Ty Simpson. And Ty Simpson will be a possibility for the Browns coming out this year. And he had brought up one of the things that he doesn't like is the depth. You're already, like he says, gosh, you start off and go. And these are things that, you know, I watch Alabama, but am I watching Alabama? And with all the things that got going on a Saturday, I don't get a chance to watch it like he does. And man, he was as right as it gets. Like, you're starting off and gun, then you're taking a five-step drop. Okay, well, in the SEC, that's great competition. But in the NFL, now you're if you do anything like that, you're going to be put – if you take that deep of a drop out of gun, you're putting your tackles at a huge disadvantage because those guys just see a different edge. You know, instead of coming around at almost 90 degrees, they can get a head start and beat guys right off because they're going right after you, which I understand how that just sounded right there. But they can get them off the jump and go right after them. And I go, gosh, I didn't even think about that. You know, deep ball accuracy is something that I think any idiot can pay attention to, myself included. But that stuff, it's like, this is where it starts. And I find it so fascinating where we're like, man, the rudimentary stuff that we get into to the point where it gets to like, he ain't even talking like real hardcore stuff when he's talking about that. Just little snippets of it. Because, you know, I watched Julian Sain and I'm going, where are the flaws? Tell me, I need like, I seriously, I want Dane Brugler to text me. Where are the flaws against Purdue? Where are going to be the flaws against UCLA and Rutgers before you get there? Everybody's going to watch him play Michigan, okay? What is it when you're playing against teams you should run it up against? What is it? Where are the flaws? Because, you know, I saw him throw a great deep ball against Penn State right out of the chute in the third quarter, and it really put Penn State on its heels, and then they were on skates for the rest of the day, and it was over. Like, I don't think that he is a can't miss. But my God, this is unreal, and it plays tricks on me.
I know it's college. I know he has better players. I can't believe what a pro he looks like.
Yeah. Yes.
And some of that back shoulder stuff looks like 7-year NFL veteran. The throws are just there every time.
I can't believe you're right about this, but I can't believe the professionalism he seems to have. Where he already, I think, plays like an NFL quarterback, where the game is, there's so many guys that if they're not running it up, they start to freak out. I mean, if they're not beating the you know what out of teams, they start to freak out. They don't do well with the pressure against playing against really good teams if they're not boat racing. And there are so many games, like, people watch and they go, "What?" And I go, "Well, guys, they're not just going to let Jeremiah Smith score on him every time. They're going to do everything they can to stop number 4. That's why you have number 17 over there. And your running game, by the way, your running game is developing. Your running game is not a
you're
done
hoping
deal.
It's in a way better yes. spot, you know, in 2 months than it is
exactly.
right now.
Exactly. Thank you. But he is a guy who I think he deals with so many things and has so much confidence that his defense is going to play complementary football, that they're going to be able to figure out defenses they're playing against.
They have not
find the different concepts.
They have not opened it up.
No.
Yet.
They
all.
Haven't.
In fact, Ohio State fans are just, you're looking for something to complain about because mm-hmm. it almost has been too easy. But if there has been a complaint, it's like, man, the offense, it feels like we're leaving so much meat on the bone right now. You know, a bunch of, they've been stopped more in the red zone than you'd think a team as dominant as they've been. And they've been a little more conservative. Yeah. And you do wonder, is that a method to the madness? Is this?
I think there's a few things. I think one, I don't think they're showing everything.
Right.
Because I think they don't have to show anything.
They know how long of a season it is now.
Exactly.
Everything's changed.
So right. And you're playing some of these teams where, like, these are quality programs, and you're just watching their defense choke the life out of these teams during the game. Like,
yep.
the Washington game. I know Twitter was going nuts against Penn State because it was 17-14 at half, and Gus Johnson is a guy who can get a lot of things hyped up.
Oh, yeah.
He knows the theater. He knows how to get it going. He knows that Penn State's downtrodden, and he knows that fan base, if they get any win for the rest of this season, they wanted to beat Ohio State. He knows how to play a crowd like a fiddle. That's what makes him one of the very best. And I think a lot of people saw that halftime and got really worked up, and I'm just thinking, I never felt that way. I never felt that way. You know, that Ruckenmeier seems like a good enough kid, and I think he'll probably be better in a few weeks. But, I mean, going up against Ohio State, that defense, the way that they play, it's like, oh, my God, Ohio State's finally given up a first half touchdown. It's like, yeah, you know, Penn State did come in ranked number 2 in the country. Mm-hmm. Like, it's – I know that they've fallen on real hard times, but they still have talent on that side of the ball. So you're gonna give it up here and there somewhere. But I think, one, they're holding back a little bit. They don't want to put everything else on tape. Two, and this is going to be controversial to some of the Ohio State homers, I think that they're kind of figuring out the play-calling situation with Hartline there and how he wants to go through putting together a game and working an entire game plan and managing a game. Because this is a guy who – I think he could be a head coach somewhere next year.
I was going to ask you, is this his last year at Ohio State?
And I
kind of feel like it will be.
Well, and I think what he might be going through, and this, again, this is pure speculation. You have a monster of a football team that I can't believe. I never thought in a million years a team is going to be able to repeat in the playoff era, and they might very well do it in the first 2 years, for crying out loud. But you have a monster of a team, and you could empty out the chamber of everything and leave the guns smoking and red hot with your offense. It's not going to help you when you actually get to the playoffs and play the quality again. It's not going to help you against them, because I'm telling you, they respect Kurt Cignetti, and they're holding back and getting ready to play Indiana. Okay, they are. And I know that's going to be tough to say because you still got Michigan on the schedule. But I think what he's trying to do is learn how to manage and learn how to be complementary with his defense, to not put his defense in a bad situation. There is a difference in calling plays and racking up yards and points and actually managing the game. And this is where we get it wrong with so many offensive guys. I hate to say it like this. Josh McDaniels, very good at offense. Very, very good at offense. Not great at managing. Chip Kelly, very good at offense. Doesn't even want to manage games anymore like that. It's And for him, one, you're calling plays really for the first time. So that's one, another thing. Two, you're calling plays for the first time and learning how to be complimentary towards your defense and special teams. That's a lot to take in.
As opposed to just sprinting to score as soon as possible.
And with those horses, it's a lot to take in while everybody expects you to run it up on everybody because you're Ohio State. He's trying to do a lot of things. And I think they're doing a very good job of being able to balance all of it. And I think that they're teaching Brian Hart. I think that Ryan Day right now is showing Brian Hartline some really good things that would set him up for some. Because you can't just be a recruiter, man. Ron Zook was a recruiter. And then on Saturdays, he walked around with his arms folded because he did not know what the F to do with his football team. Godspeed. Sorry. And you could be a recruiter, but you got to be able to get him going on Saturday, and you got to be able to make the right call on Saturday. Or you better have the right people. And he'll have to have the right people, but you're going to have to step in there at some point, and I think he's learning good stuff right now. But that's. But as far as Julian Sain is concerned, that guy's the Heisman Trophy winner. One other thing. I want to say, and I believe it is, a long time ago, a listener named Bradley said he came up to me, and I met him, and he was a really nice guy, and he wants me to say hello to Ryan during the podcast, so I will say that. So thank you both for listening very much. I know that you want to make a joke. I would not make a joke. I'll tell you why later. Goodbye.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.